The increasingly frequent occurrence of floods, droughts and extreme heat waves in the past decade have led the Czech government and local administrations to consider long-term measures to moderate the impact of these excesses. The Prague City Council is currently debating a long-term strategy that would gradually prepare the capital for the inevitable impacts of climate change. I spoke to Klára Sutlovičová from the Prague-based environmental think tank Glopolis about the measures that will be most effective and what other cities are doing to protect their inhabitants.
Yes, this is obviously something that is happening all around Europe, but not only in Europe, but also in other major cities around the world, because the impacts of climate change can be felt already now, and the predictions, unfortunately, are that the impacts will worsen over the time. So the strategy that the city is preparing is very timely, and the measures that are considered are fit to the purpose of this strategy, because each of the city obviously will face different impacts of climate change. Some of them are common, but some of them are different depending on the local conditions. For example, the coastal cities would face the sea level rise, which is not the case of Prague, but Prague, obviously, the biggest threat for Prague is also related with water, either too much water, like floods, or too little water. Long-term droughts, for example, is one of the impacts that Prague could face in the future.
And also higher temperatures, because the city gets hotter than...
Yes, definitely the temperature rise is something that Prague will have to cope with in the future. In the past, we have observed the average warming of about 1 degree Celsius, but it is expected that in the future, by the middle of the century, the temperature could get warmer from 1 degree to 2.5 centigrades on average. This is the predictions that we have at the moment. So the higher temperatures is also something that the cities need to adapt to.
So what kind of measures are we talking about here? More greenery, materials for roads and buildings that deflate the sun's rays, I understand. Use of colours, is that right?
Yes, that's correct. So all the measures that you've mentioned are those that could help the cities with coping with those heat surges. The other measures involve things like using water more smartly in the cities. I've mentioned that the water problems are the major cause and the major concerns of adaptation for most of the cities around the world. The measures could also include like using water more smartly in a way that we use grey water, for example, for flushing the toilets, or that we don't use the drink water for things that that are not necessary, that the water is not necessary to be so cleaned. And also we create better conditions for precipitation when the rain comes, so that it can soak in the green parts of the city, and it can stay in the city, not leave out, because we could need the water when the drought is coming finally. So all sorts of measures that would keep the water where it falls are also very helpful.
Well, more greenery seems to be the easiest and most obvious measure. What is preventing more greenery in Prague? Is it that there isn't enough available space for more parks or garden colonies that are being planned?
I wouldn't say that there is not enough space. There is definitely more space for more parks or even single trees on the streets. But the thing is that it's not being planned properly. So better planning and really taking into account that a single tree could be very helpful for creating better climate conditions, for example. In the planning of a parking lot, this is actually a good example. Each parking lot doesn't necessarily need to be only gray asphalt all the time. We can have trees there. We can have parts of the parking lot dedicated for areas where actually the rainfall water could soak, and where there can be lawns and some greenery. So these kind of things are manageable. It's possible to have them, but a better planning is what currently prevents them, that they are there.
When you say better planning, is it why hasn't it been done? Is it because nobody bothered, or is it about money?
It's actually not about money that much, but you also answered the questions. It's the architects and engineers really didn't take this too much into account. For example, when the architects are drawing the buildings, they are not usually planning such measures that would, for example, prevent overheating of such buildings in the summer season. Especially, they don't like it. They don't like external shadings, for example, because they consider it too ugly and not aesthetic. So they rather care about the aesthetics of the buildings, how the buildings look like, than caring about if it's not too hot there in the summer for the inhabitants. So they don't take properly into account that the people stay in the building for 90% of their time, and they would like to have good conditions all around the year there for working or for living.
One of the proposals being debated is green roofs, for instance. In fact, I believe City Hall is now considering whether they should be in the future compulsory on bigger buildings. Are there enough green roofs in Prague?
Oh, well, green roofs are quite popular measures, but I'm really not sure whether this should be compulsory, because not all the buildings are fit for having green roofs, and you can do definitely other measures to have more greenery in the city than just green roofs. So I would rather assess it case by case, if the building is suitable for that or not. And if not, then you can have a green facade, for example, or you can have some trees around the building, which would actually do the same service.
What about materials for roads and buildings that deflate the sun's rays, that do not accumulate heat? Should that gradually be introduced? It's difficult, of course, with the buildings that are already standing. And the use of colours that was also mentioned, are these things important?
Yes, the colours definitely play a role. Everybody can feel it when you wear dark colours in the sunny day in the summer, then you feel differently, or if when wearing light colours, for example. So with the new buildings, these measures could be easily implemented if the architects and other will keep that in mind, that using lighter colors that actually reflect the sun rays would prevent overheating of the building in the summer. And the same applies to asphalt. We have or other materials that could be not just the very dark colors of asphalt. I even heard about asphalt that actually enables water to soak, which sounds maybe too weird, but if such material is available, then why not to go for it?
So basically anything done in the future should be done with these new materials, more or less. That's how it would work.
Yeah, and it's actually compulsory in some other cities. For example, I've heard that in Tel Aviv, in Israel, light colors are those that are favored and that are even to some extent compulsory for the constructors to use when they are building. Also, this applies, for example, to cars. If you have white car, it does a different to the reflection of sun rays than if you have dark cars. So all these kind of things are very little, but they can do quite a good service when applied in integrated manner.
Do we seek inspiration from abroad, from other cities, as regards suitable measures? For instance, the things you mentioned now?
Yeah, there are definitely good examples all around the world how different cities try to adapt, how they integrate actually the adaptation measures with reducing their carbon footprint. This is also an important aspect of the whole planning because obviously the more efficient, for example, the buildings or the transport services are, then the less carbon the cities actually emit to the atmosphere, and the less warming then we can expect. Just mentioned buildings and construction sectors are globally responsible for 40% energy use. So this is also another example of how it is important to reduce energy consumption in cities, and it's why many of the cities combine adaptation measures with measures to cut the emissions. For example, in the transport sector, it can be electric vehicles powered by renewable electricity. In terms of building management, obviously, we have to look on how the buildings could be better insulated so they don't need any artificial energy. And this also applies not only to winter season when we need heating in our conditions, but also in the summer season when, like, the easiest, obviously, measure is to install artificial air conditioning unit. But this also, again, consumes energy. So if you do the building smartly and have it well insulated, install, for example, external shading, then you don't need this external artificial cooling unit in the summer. The other thing is obviously the preparedness of the rescue services or the fire brigades, for example. This is also an important part of the adaptation. For example, when you talk to the health practitioners in Prague or in other Czech towns, they openly tell you that the last place where the patient is in air-conditioned environment is the ambulance, the car, when the patient is being transported, the emergency, in case of any emergency. When the patient is then taken to the hospital, there is hardly any air-conditioned place for patients with heart strokes, for example, in the summer. And we could remember the heat wave in the summer season in I think it was 2003 in the summer season in I think it was 2003 the heat wave hit Western Europe badly, and the death toll from that heat wave just in France was more than 30,000 people.